Drop and give me 50. Drop and give me 50.
Drop and give me 50. Yeah, I mean, much more on the rap beef tip. I mean, it feels like, in a way, it feels like we haven't recorded in a while. We've actually done two shows over the past 2 weeks that just have not made the cut. the pod gods did not
Not going to Hollywood.
Right, yeah, I guess the pod gods did not want us to release them to the public. I don't know what happened. Hopefully this show makes it out. If you're seeing this right now, clearly it made it out. So
yes,
we're glad to be back. But
yes,
much has happened. I think the last show we officially recorded,
March 29th, it was you and Duke.
I was going to say, matter of fact, the last show on our feed didn't even include you. So the last show we recorded might have either been that previous Monday, or I think it was. I think it might have been that Monday. So maybe, what, that would have been March 26th?
So, yes.
So it's been a while. Much has happened. That was right after the first Future release, I believe. And now here we are after the second Future release, after a J. Cole album release, after a J. Cole diss track, a J. Cole retrack, a J. Cole feature on a new Future album. We actually just had the WNBA draft tonight, which is seems to be one of the more historic ones as far as views. I'm sure it had the highest viewership, I would guess.
Yeah. For WNBA, I don't think they've calculated it quite yet, just because obviously the draft just finished, so they'll know. But yeah, the last one was
that's my approximate.
Oh,
that's
yeah, no, it absolutely
that's my estimation.
It absolutely is the biggest one for sure. There's no way this didn't break records, at least to start off. Like, I know people don't watch towards the second and third round like I was paying attention to, but
there's a third round?
There's three rounds in it, yes.
Did not realize.
First, second, third round of the WNBA draft. Because there's...
I feel like the NBA should have a third round draft, too.
It would make sense. Or like even just like having a G League draft, because most of these players in the third aren't going to do, like, if you just had like a first round, second round, then like a G League round, that'd be kind of cool, too. But
sure.
The WNBA just needs to expand to like 18 to 20 teams, and then we'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, what do they have now? They have 12?
They have 12. They need, and they're doing the Golden State has a team going there next year, so it's going to bring it to 13. I don't know if any other team is going to be there, but that'll hopefully within the next.
There's got to be a second. I feel like I heard of a second. I can't remember what it was, though. I feel like I heard there was a second team.
I know. Golden State's the confirmed one. I think, I don't remember the other one.
Yeah. They're gonna be in that San Francisco building, right? I think if they got to 16, that would be a good number, 8 in each conference, the way the talent is right now, and then see where you are in a couple years. But 12 seems like they could definitely have more than 12 right now. Seems they should should at least be at 14. Sounds like they're trying to get to that number within.
There's legitimately 16 stars that could be the arguably the best player on it. Like, obviously in the NBA you've got 30 teams, 23, like if you're going each team should be like 23 to 24 true stars that could be like a first or second best player on a championship team. Like, they could be right around there roughly. I would have to go through every team, but like, you have enough WNBA talent to where each team out of, if you had 16, could be the first or second best for sure player on a championship caliber team. You have plenty of talent, enough talent, especially over the next 4 years when you're gonna be ushering in Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, someone like Hannah Hildago. Depending on where you're going from there, obviously someone's going to emerge in 2 years. I cannot think of the lady's name, but she's going to be phenomenal. Chavez, I think Aliva Chavez is her name, but she's going to be crazy in 2 years. But yeah, there's enough talent coming in there. 16 teams would be perfect.
For sure. I have more women's basketball I want to talk about, but let's start with rap. Let's start with this beef. I want to hear your thoughts. I mean, Drake dropped a diss 50, track. 50. Actually, let me be clear before that. Drake had a diss track leaked. And then a couple hours after that, we got the official one. And then a couple hours after that, we got a Rick Ross reply. So go ahead. Take it from there.
So I can actually kind of start a little bit from the beginning more, because we didn't really talk about it. Obviously, everyone knows about this, but we didn't really discuss it. So I'm going to kind of just go in timeline. Obviously, it's not Big Three. It's just Big Me, Kendrick Lamar, and then We Don't Trust You, Future, Metro, all over that album. Just shots, like basically shots everywhere. And then J. Cole drops his project. J. Cole drops 7-Minute Drill. 2 days later, after that, at his Dreamville thing, he says that his diss was lame, it was whack, it was dumb, and then he moves on. Actually, oddly enough, got a haircut today at the barbershop. Shout out to my guy, Doug. And Doug, friend of people at Dick's Sporting Goods, met him through there. And there was a random guy over in the other chair who randomly was like, because I was explaining this beef to Doug, because he really wasn't been paying attention to like hip hop over that. The guy was like, yeah, I thought 7-Minute Drill was fire. And actually, he kind of cooked on that. And I was like, yeah. And then he kind of left. I just kind of let it be. I think 7-Minute Drill was a good song. I don't think as a diss it was anything other than just like a pretty fine, just a fine warning shot. But obviously, J. Cole just dipped out. He just said, bye. You know what? I'm on my spiritual journey path. You know what? Cool. Just next time, don't drop a diss track and do it, and you'll be good. No one's, not as many people are going to be as upset. Fine. Cool, J. Cole. Fall Off better be a classic now. Anyway, so moving forward, Drake's off tour. It's like, okay, rumors. Joe Budden's talking, like, I've got word from people that Drake's got something that's nuclear. Kendrick's got something that's nuclear. That this isn't it, but like felt like Drake was dropping. He does. Want to say this right now. I hate leaks. Hate them. Not hate them. I just hate leaks. Normally, if this wasn't a rap beef, I would not be listening to a leak until it just comes out. I like when songs leak. I don't know why. Something about it. I just hate it. When I want it to officially come out, because the leak sounded different from the actual track itself. Because like at first I was like, this is the beat you chose for like a diss track. Like this kind of look, this is okay. And Drake didn't sound even as aggressive on the leak to me. I could have heard something wrong, or like it was distorted more, but like, it's like Drake sounds like he just did this to do this. And that's typically not Drake when it comes to this kind of stuff. But then I heard the actual song and was like, okay, that beat's actually nice. And then I heard Drake talk and I was like, okay, he's actually rapping. I like the diss. I really like the diss. He has a lot of shots, a lot of places, and it's not like he's not going for a kill shot, of course. Those are jabs like, okay, you brought the fight here. I'm ready to fight too. So I'm waiting for Kendrick. And then obviously I'll let you talk before we talk about Rick Ross, because obviously I was spoken on a lot of parts there, but I like the Drake diss. Wish J. Cole would have just said, I'm not in it before, because when you drop a diss track and then say that, you just look like it makes you look much worse than you just saying like, nah, I don't want it. Cause even then we would have been like, really, J. Cole, you've been saying this forever. But you then drop a diss, say it's lame. Who likes Kendrick Lamar in here? Then play Love Yours after. You're on your spiritual journey, but just next time, just stay out of it. But okay, that's it. You can go.
Yeah, I mean, to the J. Cole point, I think he looks better by the day, because I think that was last Sunday. And by this past Saturday, it had, you know, we'd already had three more diss tracks. We'd already had more shots on the R&B Future album.
In 2006, this would hit much harder for J. Cole. But in today's culture, where it is just go and go and go, people are going to forget that J. Cole even remotely had a diss track in about 3 weeks. Let Kendrick drop one, let Drake drop one, and let whomever else is going to drop one. We'll forget J. Cole even had this moment. Go on.
Well, the weird part about it is then he appears on Future's album. Yep. This past week, which looked interesting. Obviously, he could have probably told them not to release that if he didn't want it to look away. That's the only part that's interesting to me, because I'm sure it's an older verse. But he did allude to the retract of the song. So maybe it was an updated version of an old verse. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear the backstory about that.
Yes.
As far as the current beef goes and where it stands and all that, it's interesting. I mean, look, Weeknd had a shot on this album. He's been taking shots at Drake on both future albums, but on this one specifically, he said how OVO has leaks in their camp, or they have holes in their camp, this and that. Just like the camp's not as strong. And I gotta say, for Drake, who's he's probably the biggest artist in the world. He's up there. It's like him, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and whoever else.
Right? Biggest hip hop act out, and I think he'd probably be the third. I think you would have to Taylor Swift, Beyonce can battle it out for one and two, and then Drake would probably be right there.
True. And I don't know. I mean, I would guess Drake probably streams more than Beyonce at this point.
Probably streams, but I don't know. Like, I don't think a Drake tour does exactly what a Beyonce tour does. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I think it's close.
I mean, they're both stadiums.
Don't get me wrong. It's picking billions. Like, we're just, it's like, it's 900 million to like a billion percent. So like, but again, if you want to argue, Taylor Swift's probably the biggest in the world right now because she's consistently dropping music. Obviously, Beyonce's had a project this year and she had a project in 2022, but Taylor Swift's been consistently dropping. She's dropping here soon and it's going to shut the entire world down. But yeah.
Yeah, so. And you know, the fandom of a lot of these acts is, that's a different, you know, I'm not even going to get into that. Back to the rap beef, though. So Weeknd says that, like, you guys got holes in your camps. Your shit ain't as strong as it seems, da-da-da. And it was really interesting because it seemed like the people who were really, like, behind, like, oh, Drake's got this, Drake's got that coming was Rory and Maul. Formerly, you mentioned Joe Budden. They're from the Joe Budden pipeline, quite literally. Former co-host of the Joe Budden podcast. And they were alluding to it, like the whole drop and give me 50 stuff, talking about, you know, rappers better be ready, which Joe himself also alluded to. So we knew something was coming probably this weekend.
Yes.
And even though Future's album was an R&B album, we still got shots on that, clearly, more so by the featured artist than Future himself. But then we get the Drake record on Saturday and then it leaks and it doesn't, you know, you can tell it's very rough, whatever it is. There was rumors that it was AI. There was rumors that it was AI on Twitter. Like, it was just, which, by the way, sucks because I don't know if you saw this earlier, Keenan, but there was a Kendrick diss that surfaced online today that people say is AI, that people are saying it's officially AI. And it sucks that, you know, you said you hate leaks. We don't even have a leak culture anymore because we're not even going to know what's real and what's not. And unfortunately, that's going to be even bigger in society than just music. That's going to be everything that we're going to have to be like, okay, I don't know if this is real. I don't know. You know, I don't know what this is. So
the idea that you can create an AI, like you can just create someone random can create something that sounds exactly like Drake is crazy. Like just the idea of like I can be home right now and just like put something together and release it and it could be Drake. What? Like that's just so insane to me. It is, and you're right. To a level, it is kind of scary.
You could put my voice on there, saying all kinds of crazy shit, and then
yes,
you know, and you know what I mean. Like, there's no. It seems endless, and it seems incredibly scary. But
yes, it really does.
To that point, so Drake drops. The only reason I was able to people were able to confirm that it was not AI was because of Rory and Maul alluding to the drop it, give me.
And then DJ Academics as well.
And then Academics later actually puts out the actual track, which is very interesting that we got streamers as the hip hop heads now, you know, not actual DJs, because even though that's his name, DJ Academics is very much not a DJ, but important to the culture nonetheless.
Of course.
Obviously. So just different. And, you know, if again, it's Drake of all people, Drake's not supposed to have leaks. So someone leaked that shit. I don't know. Like, it's, we obviously haven't had real hip hop beef in a long time. Like, we have a lot of internet rap beefs that don't really go on wax like this did. And for it to be as sloppy as it was.
Last one I can truly remember that mattered a little bit was Eminem and MGK, because like obviously right.
and
like
MGK, and MGK is no longer a rap artist either. Like he was at his point of transitioning to like a pop like, artist during this time. But even that lasted like a week, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't that long because like obviously we just
two tracks.
We recently had like Meg Thee Stallion take a couple shots, Meg's Law or whatever it was, and Nicki, and then Nicki dropped Bigfoot, and then nothing came of that. I was kind of hopeful for that happening, that Meg was going to come back and then do whatever. It doesn't matter because like they're just going to do what maybe it's been a while, so she might like wait until her private. But whatever she responds, it's Nicki, so it's going to be big. But the last one that I can truly remember that had a actual status, I bet there's like some lower level rappers that are going back and forth, whatever. But MGK and Eminem, I preferably actually think MGK had a better diss to Eminem than Eminem, but everyone's, I don't know. They're more like kind of double entendres, like twisted into Eminem's career, kind of than how he broke that down, rather MGK than like Eminem kind of just like had to give you a career to destroy it kind of things like that. And like, like wow. Those, like to me, that just doesn't hit hard because MGK already had a career and things. So like things like that just don't hit as hard to me.
But I'll say go this. On. Drake's verse was, or Drake's diss was decent. I saw enough people like, I'm not really feeling this. To where I'm like, damn, this didn't have the impact I thought. Like, usually you'd have people really gassing it, which people kind of did, obviously.
It was both to me, from what I saw. But
you definitely got, because I feel like that's kind of Drake's MO. I've never really felt Drake's put out like a super hard, like, oh my fucking God type diss track. Like, back to back, that was more of a song than it was a diss track.
Duppy, you know, freestyles, I mean, his closest thing to that.
Sure, sure. And it was
not an oh my, you know, it was not oh my God, but that was,
it was direct.
That was really good. That to me, that was really good.
It was direct, and he was rapping, he was barring you up, right? And he was, you know, my thing with that is Push came at him, and then he responded more to Kanye than Push, but you know, whatever. It was a good response.
Yes,
the beef going. This one though, like, all right, Kendrick says, motherfuck the big three, come with three switches, da da da. He really only made height jokes at Kendrick. The only thing he said to Metro was,
how you big stepper with a size 7 man's on?
Yeah. And to Metro, all he said was, shut your hoe ass up and play some drums, which was funny. Like, that's funny. But it wasn't really like,
kind of fun.
It wasn't anything crazy. So, like, it was a good diss, but I mean, I think you got to give Kendrick the edge.
The drop I'm giving 50 was kind of actually clever, just because there was that video that surfaced of Kendrick doing 50, and then like he was talking about obviously like Top, like the way like you have to give 50% to Top. Obviously Kendrick's from TDE or was from TDE and all that kind of stuff. Like, so like what he had, there's a lot in between. So obviously with Drake's great with subliminals. Like, he's not Jay-Z exactly, but he's like right under Jay-Z when it comes to the subliminal game. Like, he weaves a lot more in there than you would assume. But I agree with you that like it wasn't, when you left that track from Drake, you were like, Kendrick needs to respond because this is what he pretty much asked for and this is what we want.
Well, we know he's going to respond.
But no, we know he's going to. But like, I'm just saying, we left it like Kendrick's got to respond for sure. Like, he couldn't just leave it and let it be. But also, this is not like anything was damaging or anything like that. It was a solid Floyd Mayweather sixth round.
And it's round one of this beef, really. You know, so you know, all the stuff that's going to escalate, it's going to come with, you know, whenever Kendrick drops, which it sounds like it could be tomorrow. It could. My guess is it'll be before the new Music Friday. So Kendrick supposedly, this diss track he's about to drop has been accumulating for 4 years, and he's just been adding to it and adding to it. Supposedly. And the producer for, was it Rigor Mortis? He's the one who's kind of gassing it too. He's the one saying like, yeah, Kendrick's ready. It's been made. Actually, Joe alluded to that last week as well. He said Kendrick's already got one ready in the cut, which we probably knew anyway, given, you know, how he started this beef. So I just can't wait to get to the nitty gritty to it. I mean, look, man, you know, rap beef, that's the equivalent to like men's reality show shit, like gossip, drama and shit. Like, we're all for it. Like, So
yeah, oh, 100%.
So, and I can't see. I, by the time we record on Thursday and do our preview, I feel like I can hear your bathroom.
I think there's this water running in the background. You're fine. There's a pipe right here. So you're hearing water. You probably, I won't probably hear this on recording, but yeah, you're hearing water randomly.
Pee right now? Like, that's a little weird.
No, no, just random water running. Anytime like a faucet goes, it's just right next to the pipe. But yeah, we're good.
I think by the time we record Thursday for our NBA preview show, little plug right there. I think we will already have either a Kendrick response or something. We'll have some sort of response from one of the parties involved. I would guess it's Kendrick, the way people are talking about it today. And if we have a Kendrick response by Thursday, maybe that means we have a second Drake response by next weekend, or this coming weekend, I should say. Who knows? This is all very interesting to me. I actually want to do a deeper dive on all the disses that have dropped. I haven't even gotten through the Future album, the R&B one, just yet. I had quite a busy weekend, actually, so I didn't get to listen to what I wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
My skim through, I love the production. I love R&B Future. So, you know, I know a lot of people are disappointed if they were expecting more shots. I mean, they got more shots. I know some people were expecting, like, harder music. The only reason I thought they might go the R&B route was the rollout. I think the first rollout kind of social media piece they did for this album, they showed him in like the all black stuff. They were like in the album promo for the last album. They showed him in all that and they just switched it to white. I'm like, okay, clearly they're going in a different direction. Maybe they're going R&B here. Future's already done the, you know, one hip hop album, one R&B album within a week span, which was a crazy time. So sounds like great music. I can't wait to listen to it in full. There's just much more.
One of those albums that I think you've got to wait, like, for like the masses. I think you got to wait 3 weeks to a month to then come back to it. Like, because I remember people's mindset is more so what I mean.
I get what you mean. I know a lot of people. I saw a positive reception to it on.
Did you? Okay.
Friday night. The people who, like, I know Brandon said he didn't like it, which I was shocked because this is completely Brandon's vibe, but that'll be a conversation for another day. But yeah, I think, like I said, if you were expecting, and I think you were about to say the same thing, if you were expecting rap on this album, then it's a huge letdown because it's immediate. First track, immediately, you know, okay, we are not getting what we got on the last album. And they actually stuck in a mini mixtape at the end, like six tracks, which I wish they would have waited like a month or two to put out. Like, if they would have just waited a month or two and were like, oh, by the way, six more just hard trap, you know, like you get the ASAP Rocky diss on there and all that. Like, that would have been cool. Even a month later, just not the same night as the R&B tip.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Whichever. Still fire. But
I agree with that. And I'm excited, just like you are, for all that. Now we just lay in wait pretty much and wait for Kendrick to drop something that's been brewing up for 1500 days. So let's see. He's put a lot of hours behind this. Let's see what's been going on with Kendrick over the last 1500 days.
And apparently Drake alluded to that too. He said it's been 4 years to shut the fucking drop it already. So, like, you know, apparently he knows about it too. So I'm very interested to see like where the hell this goes, especially as we're leading into the summer. Between that and the playoffs and just the good music we've gotten already, like 2024 is shaping up to be a banner year. Like, it's already
much better. I would say much better than 2023 already. And that's,
we're just getting into the second quarter and we still got a lot of things to,
we've got classics all over the board when we're talking, like, obviously I'm gonna slut right into the topic by saying we obviously had a classic Super Bowl, ended on a touchdown in the overtime. You had a semi-classic Super Bowl.
I'd say it's a memorable Super Bowl. I wouldn't.
You're right. I mean, you had a very memorable Super Bowl.
Year before that was definitely a classic.
I just think when you end in overtime on a touchdown, it's kind of, you have, it's at least memorable somewhat. So it was memorable. It was memorable halftime. Obviously. And then we're hopefully going to have a phenomenal NBA playoffs. We did have a phenomenal college basketball, men's UConn back-to-back, first time in about 20-ish years, I think it was 17 years. And then the women's obviously had a historic run. Speaking of, what do you have thoughts on the WNBA draft? Like, I know I'm not sure how much of it you're able to catch because I know you were traveling from work. Obviously, duh, Caitlin went one, duh. But like, I wasn't sure what else you saw because I do have a lot of thoughts on it too. So I wasn't sure what you
had. As much as I was explaining to you. I'm trying to like safely follow the draft while I'm traveling, and you know, every place I looked, nothing was concrete. Like I couldn't just see like this team took this player. Like everything was like way more jumbled and way more just confusing than it needed to be. Like women's sports has come a long way just this year, especially basketball, like especially women's basketball. And, you know, stuff like that was clear, like how far behind they are. Cause there was no concrete site anywhere where I could just get like a live update on all the picks, like not on Twitter, not anywhere could I find anything. Granted, this was all like within like 3 minutes of research before I gave up. So I probably could have found something, but you know,
I think it was on the WNBA app was like the only place that really kind of had, I think ESPN, that cause the WNBA app that I have the WNBA app. So I was able to kind of follow it on there. I was actually just my work was very slow for the last hour. So I was just watching the draft, the entirety of it. But yeah, no, it was the draft went as I kind of thought it was going to early on. And then I think later picks that people for the most part are not going to care about that I do care about. Like, I think the Aces got a steal in the draft. They got De'Asia Fair as a third time. She's third all time in points. She did that this year, but we don't really know about that, obviously, because Caitlin was first. But she's third all time in points in women's NCAA history. They got Elizabeth Kitley, who tore her ACL, which so she's not going to be playing this year. She should be playing next year, but she was the ACC Player of the Year. She's a big. She probably would have gone late first. Maybe I think she was first projected before the injury. And then they also got Kate Martin, obviously running mate of Caitlin Clark, the veteran presence who can play defense, can shoot on the outside. So add that to Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, Chelsea Gray, Asia Wilson, and a two-time defending champion. You add those pieces. You add like a future piece in Kitley.
Like the 17 Warriors out there.
I didn't even mention Candace Parker. But, like, no, they truly are – I mean, that truly was what that's what they are, but they're amazing. The LA Sparks got Rekia Jackson and Cameron Brink. That's going to help them out a lot this year. I had one with Lexi Brown. I could go on a WNBA spiel, but really this was a very loaded draft. Angel Reese goes 7 to the Chicago Sky. In funny news, she's with Camila Cardoso, who you guys have probably seen if you guys haven't seen clips of her and this big girl from South Carolina jawing back and forth. Now they're teammates. Practice will be fun. So Chicago got two dogs. This year is going to be phenomenal. Everyone get women's league pass. WNBA league pass is $34.99 for the entire season. There's no reason why not to.
I think it's dope because the WNBA is doing the right thing and putting Caitlin Clark on national TV as much as possible. They finally got a bona fide star. Of games. and they've had stars before. And let me be clear. It seems like the WA has been growing in a real way. I would say for maybe about 6 years, I really have seen it pick up on social media.
Since Breanna Stewart really came into the league. Once Breanna Stewart came into the WNBA, Maya Moore was winning championships with the Lynx at that time. From that point on, there's been notable stars like obviously Maya Moore, as I said, Breanna Stewart, Elena Deladon, Skylar Diggins. Obviously, there's Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird. So like notable names to people who aren't like basketball fans. They're like, oh, I know that. And then obviously you have to think with Kobe around that time, too. Kobe was sitting courtside when Diana Taurasi broke the point, I think broke 10,000 points or whatnot. So like there's little things like that. So you're right. It's been growing for the last like 5 to 6 years. Last year had crazy to think like 800,000, I think was the average final watchers, which is like for them for like the most since their first couple of years. But,
and that's not much.
It's not much, but it's growing.
It's interesting. it's interesting because the college game, like when Taurasi and when Candace Parker and when Maya Moore, like when they were in college, like you still get good views, right? You're still going to get a decently high viewership, right? Maybe not on the men's level, but it wasn't low viewership like the WNBA has predominantly been. So the fact that they're going to get probably real views with Caitlin Clark, and they're capitalizing on that. And then the second star of name in this draft to everybody would have been Angel Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And where is she going? As you said, she's going to be with somebody who is already a familiar face because we've heard about South Carolina. South Carolina was already a draw. Like you said, they had entertaining games with LSU and you know, the little beef she had with Angel Reese. So like, so people know her. Maybe they don't know her like they don't know Camilla like Angel Reese, but like that's going to be a familiar face to them. So that already like that's already enhancing right there. And I know Cameron Brink went second, and that's probably someone who social media basketball followers know. You know what I mean? Like I
didn't really, as I say, you've seen her on really a couple commercials. You've seen her on a few commercials. She's with New Balance, familiar face. You've seen her on those New Balance commercials next to Kawhi and whatnot. So, like, she's definitely a recognizable face, 100%.
It's a perfect storm of things, Keaton, because as we alluded to, you know, the last time we talked about it, you're going to have Paige coming in next year. You're going to have Juju coming in 2 or 3 years. And by then, by the time Juju Watkins gets in the league, Keaton, they're already going to have not only established stars in the league, like ones that we're not even talking about right now, the league's already going to have grown.
Caitlin's like, going to be a 3-year pro.
Yeah, she's going to be a 3-year pro.
It's crazy.
I'm saying this because it's going to happen. The fact that we've seen it grow so much in college, the WNBA, will it ever get to the NBA level? Probably not. But will it grow to a point where it's going to be more recognizable? Absolutely.
It can grow to a UFC level.
That's
kind of thing.
Keaton, that's exactly. I'm glad you said that because, you know, the UFC is a sport when I was growing up, like when I was a young kid, like you'd see it and you're like, okay, like even as a little kid,
it's not boxing.
Boxing you could see was important, but you see like ESPN's not viewing it much or showing highlights. You're like, all right, only a certain demographic watches this, right? By the time I'm in high school, it's more popular, but it's still like very niche, but enough to where you know the names, even though I don't follow it. I know a few names, right? And by the time I'm in college, it's a little more popular. And then throughout that decade, obviously Connor shows up and, you know, Anderson Silva was obviously already popular. And then John Jones, and then you've got Chandler Jones and his other brother. I think it's Arthur Jones, right? They're in the NFL. So you get familiarity there. And then, you know, I'll talk about 300 later, but you get UFC 300, which is just was an incredible sporting event. Like one of the best sporting events I've ever seen in my life. Truly. You get to the point where it's now mainstream. Like, no, your average person probably doesn't know like a Max Holloway. They probably don't know anyone besides Connor or Anderson Silva or John Jones. But man, UFC is definitely more mainstream than it's ever been. It's only going to continue to grow. And I agree with you, Keenan. I think that's the WNBA is about at the point where, I mean, Caitlin's their Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Can she win? She's going to need to A, win. She's going to need to B, do what she did in college as far as highlights go, which she will. That's her game. But she needs a foil. She needs a Nate Diaz if we're talking about Conor McGregor. And that appears like it could be Paige. Could be Angel. Yeah. People try to make it Angel. Could be, you know, who knows who it could be. But the fact that Caitlin's coming, and like you said, there's already established talent in the league, like Kelsey Plum, like a Brianna Stewart, like Alyssa Deladon, like or Elena Deladon, sorry. Mm-hmm. You've got established women's basketball legends in the league who are still nice. Taurasi's still there. Taurasi was, you know, people are trying to make a big deal about Taurasi saying like it's going to be a step up for all these rookies. People try to make it seem like she was singling out Caitlin. She was talking about all the rookies coming in, but
she said that it was going like. She was like, Caitlin's going to come in probably in better shape than really anyone else. She has a super high motor, but basically it's going to be a change. Cause of course it's going to be a change. You're going from playing teams like Ohio State. I think you had 3 players from Ohio State, Mackenzie Holmes, Chelsea Taylor, and JC Sheldon. That's your best team. That was your biggest opponent. 3 WNBA players. And you're playing a team with 12, 13. Like, everybody on the, like, that was the thing, like, when you're talking football, too, they're like, oh, can Alabama beat the worst NFL team? No, because that's 53 grown men who are all professionals, who that's what they, And then you have, obviously, at 1 through 15, sure, at some point could be in the NFL draft. But after that, those are people who are going to, after this, not even play football anymore. They're just going to be like, yeah, we played. I was a backup tackle for Alabama. Now I'm a manager at Dick's. Of course it's not going to work out like that. But Caitlin's going to have to take – is she going to average 32-7-8 this year? No. If she does, the league's over with. The league's done. If she can come in and average 32-7-8 her rookie season, league's over. Done.
I can't wait to see what she averages. I can't wait to see what she averages. I will say Taurasi, she did seem a little spicy when she was talking about like taking Paige over Caitlin. Like there was definitely some clips where Taurasi's a competitor. Like she should be like that. And the fact that,
and she's UConn. She bleeds UConn. Let's be honest here.
And exactly, of course. Like what's she gonna
do? She bleeds UConn.
Say Paige over Caitlin. But let me say this. That's one thing women's sports in general is missing is animosity. Keen, there's people who follow the NBA like it's a reality show. Like they don't even watch a single game. They follow the drama on social media. Like I didn't even find this out till this year. Like there's like grown men who will like not even watch the game, but like knows all the beef, like what's going on with Anthony Edwards with to send the video shit. Like they will just follow the drama on social media. If you can get women to do that with this, like that's what they, if you get some WNBA beef and drama, that league is going to take the fuck off. Cause I mean, that's what sells sports anyway.
Of course it does.
You know what I mean? Like you got to have some healthy drama, and it doesn't seem like the WNBA really had it. And that's to some degree what made women's college basketball take off last year with the whole, you can't see me with all that. You know what I mean? And it was all misconstrued, but I mean, that's a big reason why it took off.
Who cares if it's misconstrued? It was fun.
Made it fun.
And
oftentimes beef is misconstrued. But, you know, I mean, once the WNBA gets that drama, which is going to come, people are going to be, you know, people are saying Taurasi looks bitter. There is going to be people who are just going to be bitter about this girl coming in and getting all kinds of shine when the league's been there. But
oh, you know, yeah,
that's how the game works
sometimes. I would be, you know, too. I mean? Like, not in any like I hate Caitlin kind of way, because it's really not even Caitlin's fault. She's just going out there and playing the games. But the same way, in a different way, but the same way, like Pat Bev, game one against Lonzo, pointed at LeVar like, this is for you. Like, you came in there, you had some sort of animosity towards Lonzo because of everything that was around Lonzo. And it wasn't even Lonzo's fault. That's why I'm using that kind of comparison. Lonzo just went out there, played his game, and went home. Like, he was just actually a professional from, like, 18 on. But, like, you see this girl, oh, she's going to be the biggest thing in the WNBA. Oh, like, you're trying to tell me the Aces aren't looking at that? Like, Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, like, we're back-to-back champions. Asia's looking like, if people think she's the best player in the world, she's not. That's me, definitively. Like, I don't really care what people have to say. I am the best women's basketball player in the world. She's going to make that stamp. So, like, when Caitlin's obviously going to have a lot of, like, if people are on 100, they're going to be on 105 against her. Deservedly so. And she's going to be more than ready for it. Like, she's going to be more than ready for it, which is why I think this year could be great and why I need video of the USA team practices. I need it. The same way, like when you saw Magic and Mike going back and forth when they're talking about that, where they set those, I need everything, because Taurasi's going to lead teams against Caitlin. I can already I need those videos from those practices, because that's going to be your 12 to 14 best women's players in the world going 5-on-5 against each other. I need it.
Taurasi's a dog. I love Taurasi. She's a dog.
She's exactly what basketball embodies.
So as I was saying, Duke threw you a little Skip Bayless jab, mm-hmm. Which is a fun little diss to have in a sports argument. And then I see your women's college hoops, Mount Rushmore, that did not include one Caitlin Clark, who we just said has done historic things for the game of basketball, for women everywhere, for women's sports, for women's basketball in college, and will continue to do in the WNBA. Keenan, I got to say, this was the most Skip Bayless ass, like textbook Skip Bayless ass shit I've ever seen, not having Caitlin Clark on your Mount Rushmore. Before you respond,
okay.
I'm going to explain why it's Skip Bayless. You capitalized on a woman who just did incredible things in her field. And by incredible things, I mean countless records. I was going to, you know, try to look up all her accolades just to bring this. Keen, the list was so long, it was pointless to do. The list is so long, how much she accomplished in her 4 years at Iowa. So, you know, Skip Bayless is famous for, all right, this is hot right now. I'm going to tell you why it's not hot. And that's not what you were saying, but that was a textbook.
That's not even like, remotely close to what I was saying.
No, I'm not saying that's what you were saying, but that's what you conveyed when you said, hey, I know she did all this, and that. But here's the four. Here's my four.
I'm going to let you go, and then I'll explain everything.
No. I mean, feel free to explain. I'm just saying that was a textbook Skip Bayless of, oh, she's hot right now, but here's why she's not in the top four. I will respond with why I think she has to be in the top four, and I will let you respond to me. Go ahead.
Okay, so before I even say anything, are you saying with Mount Rushmore, you're talking about level of importance to the game?
That's what Mount Rushmore is.
Okay, then everything that I said does not apply to this, and I agree with you. Because if you watch the whole thing that I said, the entire clip, Caitlin Clark, not even just a clip, the entire like episode part, I said Caitlin Clark is the most influential player. I was going off of what I think are the four best players in the history of college basketball as of this moment. I would not have Caitlin Clark in the best four. But if you're saying the most important four.
Even that.
Okay, so that's where the argument, there can actually be an argument to be made and to be had. But what I'm saying is the best four, I don't have Caitlin there. I have her at five, or I have her probably at five. Five, you have her right around there. But Mount Rushmore, if you're talking Mount Rushmore as most important, she is one. And it's not an argument, and it's not a question. So like that's, I guess, but people got misconstrued when I meant Mount Rushmore. I meant she is not, to me.
Because Mount Rushmore, top 10s are top 10s, but Mount Rushmore is, you know, you can't have this conversation without these four. That's why.
Okay, so if that's the conversation, then she's the number one face, and it's not even a question. So like I don't disagree with anybody who, if you had problems with that, I just meant the four best players, and I used that just because it was easy with four. But sorry that I got misconstrued. But I don't think you can be a top four player and not have one championship. You don't need, it's not all about that. But not with without one, can't put you in top. Especially when there's other players who have done great things, I think you're discrediting other players and what they've brought to the game when you're doing that. But I'll let you answer before I go on why.
So, who was your four? It was Cheryl Miller.
Cheryl Miller.
And then your other
Cheryl Miller.
Your other three was
Brianna Stewart, Candace Parker, Maya Moore,
Tennessee. So you had two UConns and Tennessee. Who? Keen, I bet if you looked from 1995. To like now, so it would be, I bet it would be 80-90% that the top recruiting classes were UConn and Tennessee, especially in the 90s into the 2000s, right? Caitlin Clark didn't have that at fucking Iowa. She would never have that at Iowa, and that's where college sports differ very much from the pros. You got all-star teams in college. You can pick your litter of the top 100 recruits, top 150, 200 recruits. And if you're UConn, especially in women's sports, UConn or Tennessee at a certain time, you could literally have three or four of the top 15. Five of the top 10 even, right? I'm sure UConn's had years like that. Caitlin did not have that. And if you want to say, okay, she put up all those stats because there was not much talent around her, well, Della Don. Why am I blanking on her name, Keenan? Is it Elena or Alyssa? I feel like
it's Elena. Elena, okay. Deladon.
All right. I don't know why I forgot that. I know who. But Elena, she played at, was it Washington or Washington State in college she played at?
I believe Washington.
And she put up all kinds of numbers. She didn't have much of a team around her. She obviously got drafted. She's obviously a star. She's got sneakers. We all know that. She still ain't do what Caitlin did. And she's a phenomenal scorer.
And that's why she's not in the top 10 or anything like that.
But I'm saying she's an incredible talent herself, an incredible player herself. This game's been around forever, And nobody, yes. not anybody has done anything close to what Caitlin Clark has done. She's breaking records that are, you know, 40 plus years old. And as far as like Pete Maravich and this and that, like that's, even if you don't got a ring, you are so damn accomplished yourself. That's got to set you apart from something.
But all of these other athletes are, when you talk, I mean, she broke scoring records. She's the first person to have 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. She's breaking scoring records, absolutely. The most threes. But yes, that's going to happen when time comes through. I understand that completely.
She made the last two title games as well.
She made the last two title games. I understand all that stuff. But like two Naismith player of the year. Two Naismith player of the year. Yeah, and then you have two of these who have two undefeated teams. Maya Moore had two, Brianna Stewart had two. Anyways, besides the point. But two Naismith player of the years. Like when you have three and four, I think we're discrediting. I understand how great Caitlin is, but we're discrediting other women because they weren't as flashy. And I completely understand that. I think it's the same thing that people do with Tim Duncan all the time.
Who's discrediting? Who's discrediting?
Kyle, to not brand do you, who? So who would you take off the list? Is she better than Cheryl Miller?
I would take Candace Parker off the list. Cheryl Miller was probably the first women's basketball star. So you kind of
she dropped 105 in a high school game.
You kind of got to keep her because she's so like that's the one first women's star, especially if you're going Mount Rushmore. I would take Candace Parker off personally.
I
was a kid, but I still lived through like Candace Parker, and she was your typical college star, and she won clearly. She won two championships, but I mean,
she was an star.
Look at the star Caitlin is, and look all that Caitlin's done. Yeah, Candace is great. I love Candace. Candace is fun to watch. Like, she's an incredible passer.
She's one of the great.
She's a great
dunking in games.
She's gonna go in
college games.
She's going to go in the Hall of Fame. I think even Candace Parker might be like, hey, yeah, I got the championships, but like,
if
this was Caitlin Clark Keenan at a UConn, at a Tennessee, at a South Carolina, at a Stanford, at a Baylor, the real like blue bloods of college basketball, women's college basketball, especially, and she did not win. Okay. I'm with you. Then we can give her the whole, you know, true LeBron star treatment and say, okay, you ain't win nothing. She brought Iowa to two championship games where they'll probably never go again. And if they do, it's all because of her. People will go Iowa just because of her.
And I understand what you're saying. I don't think you're wrong for like any of this stuff. I just have a difference in opinion, but that's fine.
I'm saying, yeah, for sure. That's why your list was your list. But I'm saying that's where Caitlin supersedes winning is she did literally every single thing but win. And then okay, if you want to say, oh, she never made it past the second round, she never made it past the Sweet 16, she led her team literally as far as she could go twice. It's not like she did more than her job and then some, and then was incredibly accomplished on top of being incredibly accomplished. Like, that's how accomplished she is. You can't even put it into words how much she did for the women's game. So I mean,
it's crazy what 2 years can do. Like, I'm just, because no one, I mean, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. This is not even like a bad thing at all. After her sophomore year, when she lost in the round of 32, no one was saying a word about Caitlin Clark. She was just a really good scorer with a lot of range and a good playmaker. Obviously, then you have a historic run, and then you go on, and then you have another historic run. I mean, obviously, their crossover at Canuck, which is their football stadium, they had 55,000 come out for that. They played, why can't I think of the team they played right now? I actually wrote something on it. But, like, so I agree, since my Mount Rushmore kind of got misconstrued for what I was saying. Absolutely agree that she is on the Mount Rushmore if you're talking of just influence. She's the number one, and it's not close. Number one, not close. Next would be Cheryl Miller, because I think you're right. She's the first star. But so I think Cheryl Miller has to be on that list. I think Brianna Stewart's done too much to not be on that list. I think Maya Moore has done enough too much to be on that list. So I would, the conversation would be Candace Parker and Caitlin Clark. And if you have Caitlin Clark over Candace Parker, that is fine. I don't hate you for it. It's nothing like that where I don't think you're flagrantly wrong. Like, there's no way you could have that. Like, just like the way people, the way I've even read and heard and saw, like the way she's talked about was like, and everything that I've done on Reach, because I've had to research a lot on her. Everything that was said was the fact that she brought a man's style to a woman's game. The way she played, the flair that she was playing with, she went to a story program and did more than what was expected of her at that story program. I understand what you're saying, because Caitlin obviously does have all the scoring records. She has a lot of assist records. But I do think that if Candace Parker was playing the way she did exactly then today, I think we would talk about her differently. This was the Warner Brothers podcast. That is Kyle. This was Keenan. Hope you guys enjoy. We will see you guys soon and enjoy the basketball playoffs, because I will be enjoying the basketball playoffs.